Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. Though we speak thus, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things that belong to salvation. For God is not so unjust as to overlook your work that he loved, that the and the love which you showed for his sake in serving the saints as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness in realizing the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. May God bless the reading and receiving of his word.
Betty, if you would come and take your place on the front pew here. Thank you. Told the choir, and thank you, choir. Told the choir a while ago when they finished rehearsing that if we didn't have a deacon ordination this morning, we'd just have an invitation to go home. That was very, very meaningful. We are always hearing, though, not only in song, but in word and in reading the scriptures, that we should be like Jesus. We should be, as the writer of Ephesians says, we should be imitators of God. Or sometimes folks wear those bracelets, those Willy Wonka jaw dislocator bracelets. You know, the WWJD? Well, they say it means, what would Jesus do? We see those on people's wrists. We find there are even these religious silly bands now that are supposed to remind you of what you're doing, although I don't... Just kind of religious and silly bands, to me, just kind of seem oxymoronic, but we're going to look at imitating God and being imitators of each other as we serve God in a few moments. But first of all, I want to pose a different question. What if Jesus was like me instead of the other way around? Several weeks ago, I was at a meeting, a lunch meeting, and singer-composer Pat Terry sang several songs at that luncheon. Pat Terry composes all kinds of music. He's composed music for some country music artists. He composes Christian music, plays an acoustical guitar most of the time. But Pat Terry was singing, and one song kind of resonated with my warped sense of humor. Though it's not really that funny when you think about it. The title of the song was, "What If Jesus Was Like Me?" And as soon as I heard it, what's left of my brain started working. Some of the lyrics go like this. What if Jesus was like me? He would change water to wine and then go around and boast about it. What if Jesus was like me? He would say, "Forgive you? Well, that depends on..." dot, dot, dot. What if Jesus was like me? He would mean well in promising to do something and then never follow through. What if Jesus was like me? He would listen to your secrets and then tell them to everyone. He would hang out with certain folks and ignore anyone new. Where would we be if Jesus was like me? That is a very important question. What if Jesus was like us instead of the other way around? What would the world really be like? I don't know about you, But personally, I'm kind of glad Jesus isn't like me. However, the challenge comes in the Scripture today about not Jesus being like us, but each one of us being imitators of God and then serving as examples so that others can imitate our living out of the faith. And that's not just a challenge for one who comes to serve as deacon. That is a challenge for each and everyone who claims to be Christian. What would it mean if I really was like Jesus? And that brings us to our passages for the day. First of all, the author in Ephesians chapter 5 begins what seems to be a rather easy and succinct statement. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Rather straightforward. No ifs, ands, or buts. Until we get hold of it. And then we say, well, I'll be an imitator of God except when. And you fill in the blank. Actually, the word therefore, beginning this passage, expresses the logical follow-up to the end of chapter 4. If we do the things which are listed in verses 31 and 32 of chapter 4, then we will truly become not just imitators of God, but we really will be beloved children of God. If we do those things, we will be beloved children of God. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander together with malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. So if we indeed do those things, then not only will we be imitators of God, but we will become and be beloved children. The child walking in the Father's footsteps, as a child walking behind his father in deep snow. You ever done that? You ever walked when you were a child? Or maybe you've had children that would walk behind you in deep snow? I remember deep snow. We used to get deep snow when I was growing up. Even when I was in high school, we would get deep snow. But what does a child do walking behind a parent in deep snow other than fall down? That's right, Vaughn. Walk in the father's footsteps, or the mother's footsteps, trying to step in exactly the same place where that parent stepped. That's what it means to follow in imitation of God in Christ Jesus, is to place our feet as we walk our spiritual and physical lives in the same footprints, being imitators, traveling the same way. Now, while the term imitators of God is only found here in the Bible, this is the only place where the term imitator of God is found in the whole Bible. The idea or that command is found throughout the entire Bible. Following Yahweh, serving God, walking with God. All of those truly mean to be imitators of God. The proper way to imitate God and be a true covenant partner with God is then to show holiness and faith, justice and charity and grace. In other words, it involves a recognition of God's authority, but also a recognition of our obedience. Obedience in forgiveness, in love, in ethical living, in, as verse 2 says, walking in the way of love. Now, we cannot copy God as creator or redeemer in and of ourselves, but we can imitate Him in being kind-hearted, tender-hearted, forgiving, and in forgiveness living. As Molly Marshall writes, and I quote, "What one believes and how one acts are to be seamlessly interwoven. Leading a life worthy of the Christian calling requires lowliness and meekness with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." End quote. John Wesley is reported to say, "No one can be Christian alone. No one can be Christian alone, that is, by yourself. To be Christian means relationship. To be Christian means living together. It doesn't mean uniformity, but what it does mean is unity of purpose and work in the faith and in the living that is necessary to be like Jesus, the one who offered himself for us as a fragrant offering to God, an offering that was acceptable to God and accepted by God. For you see, sacrifice is the only acceptable way to live toward God. And sacrifice is only acceptable when God is pleased and when God accepts that sacrifice. To sacrifice something that is not what we need, but it's excess, is not really a sacrifice. It's not really giving up. And it's not really as acceptable to God as giving of that which is necessary, our lives and our living. When we do this, though, it accomplishes a purpose. When God is pleased by what we do in good works and in righteous works, then we too are the aroma of Christ that is pleasing to God. And our sacrifice is acceptable. The author of Hebrews agrees in chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. First of all, he gives a stern warning about committing apostasy, which is a discussion for another time. And he follows it up with a statement of confidence in the service. And by the way, when service is mentioned here, it's diakonon, in the service of the saints. To be deacon, to serve the saints. And he says to serve them diligently. In fact, according to the writer of Hebrews, such service was their desire, their passion. To serve is not to be, whether it's as deacon or otherwise, is not to be something for the office, but rather your passion, your desire to serve others in spite of yourself and before yourself. As they become the ones who inherit the promises of God. Deacons, Christians, share those promises and that hope with everyone with whom they come in contact. This is shown in righteous living. In living lives that bear witness to Christ and His life of love. Following, walking in those footsteps, in the deep snow, in the hot summertime, in the spring of life, and even in the fall, it is walking in those footsteps which Christ has left for us and through which Christ will help us to walk. Dionysus, the bishop of Corinth, wrote in A.D. 170 a letter to the bishop of Rome, who was called the Soter. And I quote, "This has been your custom from the beginning, to do good in manifold ways to all the brethren, and to send contributions to the church, in some places relieving the poverty of the needy, and ministering to the brethren in the mines." M-I-N-E-S. End of quote. What Dionysus was saying is that just as Christ lived and lives for us in kindness, doing for us all that we need, what is done in kindness in imitating God to the people of God is seen by God as being done to God. What did Jesus say? If you do this to the least of these, you have done it unto me. So what is our answer to the question, what if Jesus was like me? I hope that our answer is to be more like Jesus, so that in Him we are fragrant offerings of living sacrifices to God and for the world. And in this place, Betty, to God and for the whole world, beginning in Piedmont, beginning in family, beginning in Christian family at First Baptist Church, and moving out like concentric circles in a pond throughout the entire community. And so, Betty, I would say to you, but also remind all of those who are deacons or serve in ministry, that a deacon should live so that others can be comfortable imitating you, just as you imitate Christ, so that they see within you that same desire and passion that Christ has for our lives. The call as deacon is one in which the church recognizes talents and gifts within you, but they are talents and gifts which are to be used for the church, not for self. As seen in Acts chapter 6, deacons are to serve others without thought for their own position. Jesus said that the greatest in the kingdom of God would be servant of all. When you accept the call to be deacon, you are accepting a call to serve the needs of others, to put aside agendas which you might have, and to look for ways to serve and to share the gospel of Christ in word and in deed. In other words, you accept the call to give away yourself just as Christ did for the kingdom of God in this place and in this world. In his book, Priests to Each Other, Carlisle Marney writes that Christians are to remember several things as we all serve and minister. First, the highest calling is to be Christian. Secondly, remember that we are appointed to serve people and God on their behalf. Third, remember that we have weaknesses. We are still sinners, but we are forgiven sinners. And God expects His people to be prudent and gentle when helping others learn from their mistakes, because God gives us that same privilege to learn from ours. A part of deacon service is to live out gentleness and compassion. Betty, I give you a charge, but also I remind all of we who minister of our charge that we receive from God. But as deacon, we are to be leaders in ministry who constantly seek to better understand God's call on life, who see ourselves as servant leaders, not CEOs, who seek to be team builders and cooperators, who are priestly leaders, who seek to be priests for the whole, who are statespersons who listen to all and who prayerfully consider all the options, who are not afraid to seek informed help and understanding when unsure of decisions, and who are wise and patient, recognizing that fruit grows slowly with its own incubation period and on God's timetable. Betty, you have had many examples of this kind of loving service, not only in this church, but in other places. And you have probably seen some poor examples as well, because churches are not perfect places. This is a day of honor and privilege. But this is also a day to remember that God never gives honor or privilege without expecting responsible service in return. Not just from deacons, but from all Christians. Deacon service is a life lived in honor of Christ for God's glory. May Christ's life shine forth even more in your life as deacon. Amen and amen. Betty, I would ask you, do you accept this call with all of its responsibilities of humble, grace-filled service? If so, would you please stand? To all the deacons of First Baptist Church, do you commit yourself anew to the same call of humble service and living, living that gospel truth? And will you pray for Betty and for each other that grace-filled living will abound? If so, will you please stand? And I would ask all of you, the church, do you promise to uphold these, all of these, in prayer? But today, especially Betty, and to seek to live together in love, grace, humility, and unity of purpose? If so, I would ask you if you would stand. Betty, this people standing together commit to pray for you and with you, to seek to live together in grace-filled living, in humble service, in forgiveness and unity of purpose. And they stand promising that to and with you as well. So I'm going to ask everyone else to be seated. And I'm going to place this pillow here and ask you to come and kneel on the pillow. Make sure you get your knees on there. Okay. At this time, anyone, as Betty bows her head in prayer, anyone who is an ordained deacon, not just of this church, but you are an ordained deacon or an ordained ministerial staff person, vocational person, if you would come, place your hands over her head and offer prayers and words for her. You may come now. Lord, as we dedicate this one to your service, as we present her to you, we ask that you would guide her with your Spirit, fill her with your grace, help her to see things with fresh new eyes, help her to truly be an imitator of you in such a way that others might see you and be imitators of you as well. Bless her service. Bless her spirit. And bless us through the work that you will do in her. Amen. Thank you, Betty. And if you would, please return here. Betty has committed herself to serving. We also offer an opportunity for any who would come for commitment, for recommitment, for membership in this place, for making a public profession of faith. TJ will come and lead us. And I have decided to follow Jesus. A song of commitment. A song of commitment. Hymn number 602. And our altar is open for any who would come and who would share in this commitment to God as Christian. I have decided to follow Jesus.